Welcome to the Inner Game Academy podcast, the show where we help you overcome your fears, boost your confidence, and give you the best chance of becoming a professional footballer. If you're a young footballer looking to take your game to the next level, this podcast is for you. Whether you're struggling with nerves before games, finding it hard to recover from setbacks, or just looking for ways to take your game to the next level, Luke and Rob have you covered. So join us each week and let's help you become the confident, fearless footballer you were born to be. In today's podcast, we talk about being a captain, what it takes to be a great captain for your team and for yourself. Listen up, we've got some massively exciting news. Our brand new 6-week Pro Accelerator program is starting very soon. If you want to improve your confidence, overcome nerves, have the best chance of becoming a pro, this program is not to be missed. You'll have 6 weeks to improve your game on and off the pitch with guaranteed results. During the program, you'll be coached live by me and Luke, mentored by current pros, and you'll have exclusive access to our brand new journal and workbook, which you'll be doing sessions on. How to get over negative thoughts, how to get into the zone and stay there, how to gain, protect and to keep your confidence. Limited spaces are available. Apply now at www.innergameprocourse.com. That's www.innergameprocourse.com. Today we are talking about captaincy. So recently we have been talking about leadership. So leadership, and a part of that is captains and captaincy. So we're going to talk about that today. Luke, captains, what makes a great captain for you?
Oh, straight in. See, when I want to describe a great captain, I think a player or two straight away comes up in my head, and now I'm describing them. So that's the way I'm thinking. Players.
That'd be cool. I'm going to go with Troy Deeney and Bloom.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's one more as well.
Oh. I don't know who you've played with. It'd be someone at Sunderland. Bailey Wright.
Yeah, correct. And I'll probably put up there probably Bailey Wright as probably one of the best leaders I've ever come across. So asking that question, I'm picturing now them three. I'm thinking, okay, well, what three traits do they have that I really, really like? I think they all lead by example, first and foremost. All three of them do it. They lead by example. They're hardworking. They demand from others. They have empathy. They'll demand from you and call you out if you need it, but equally they'll be there after training to talk, to go through things, to talk about football, talk about anything else. But they have this recognition to know what each player may or may not need. Might be a conversation, might be an arm round. But they're very consistent in their energy. And their energy's, I think it's the energy is very good. It's inspiring, it's uplifting, it's infectious. And something that Luke Garrard said in a podcast we said recently, when people say, well, what do you want people to do? And he says, I want my players to mirror me. Mm-hmm. And I think every single one of them players, they have traits that I think if everyone mirrors, then the training ground and the team would be in a better place. And I think they lead that by the way they conduct themselves.
Well, I've got a question for you. So when you put that captain's armband on, you've had it on a few times, got a picture in front of me with the captain's armband on. Does it make you feel any different? Do you feel more responsibility? Do you feel more weight? Does it make you feel better? That's the question.
I probably have less blood circulation going to the shoulders because, you know, big biceps and all that. And the
massive.
And the, massive biceps, I would say. Does it change me? No, I don't think it does. I don't think I actually had this debate with myself one time, and I was like, well, if I'm a captain, do I need to change things? Do I need to be louder? Do I need to do things differently before the game? And I used to go back and forth with that, and I was like, do I need to, if someone else, for example, take Bailey Wright, before a game, very vocal, very encouraging, very, you know, going over the things that are important in the game, you know, lads, let's start with high intensity. And it's, and I, for me as a player, it's really nice to hear that voice. I'm hearing what he's saying. I'm connecting to him and I'm thinking, great. But then, for example, if he's not playing and I get the armband, I used to think, what do I need to now be that person that does all that? And my answer was no, because that's him. And I really enjoy listening to him, but me doing that, it's just not really for me. And if I start doing it, it doesn't feel comfortable for me. And I understand sometimes we've got to do things that are uncomfortable, but it's just not really me. Like coming out, shouting, demanding, going over what needs to be done. It's not me, because I'm just focused on being where I am right now. So I think you've got to be careful where, and I'm still not sure, because you still need to do things that are uncomfortable and come out your shell. But how much is as a byproduct of changing who you are and what feels comfortable going into a game? I'm not allowed person in the change room. I'm not going over what needs to be done. I'm not saying, come on, lads, let's get in their faces, let's start well. I'm just enjoying what's about to happen. I'm just looking around and taking in the atmosphere. And if other people are talking and demanding, I'm like, nice, that's really good. Me, I've tried that before and it's exhausting. It takes it out of me. It's not really me. And I've been in change rooms where before a game, it's pretty quiet and we still go out and win. So there's no, if there was a need for me to create an atmosphere, then it's different. But I've seen us, for example, have quite a quiet changing room and we still go out and perform. So if that's the case and you can still perform without being loud, I don't feel like I need to add that. I think as a leader, if you feel like there needs to be a voice, then it's different. If you don't like speaking, but there's a voice that needs to be heard and you're captain, then you need to get out of that comfort zone and voice that. But if you're doing it just because you feel like you should, then it's slightly different. So it's probably questioning what you're going to do. And if you're not sure about doing something, just going over it in your head. Well, why am I doing this? Am I doing it because of this, because of that? And if you're not sure, what I tend to do is I tend to ask people, ask great captains. I phone them up and I go, what would you do here? What do I need to do? How would I approach this? So, yeah, I think that's what I think.
Cool. I had a player once ring me with a problem and he said, I said, what's your biggest problem? He's like, I should be captain. I'm like, wow, really good point, right? I want to tell you something. So, for example, people who've played under Blooms, for example, a lot of them say he's the best captain that they've ever played under. But the reality was he wasn't captain until the last couple of years, right? People just perceived him as the captain a lot of the time. So I'm like, do you have to have a captain's armband to lead? Why do you need that captain's armband so bad? Like, when people say the best captain they've played under and they say Blooms, I was like, well, he actually wasn't the captain at that time. But people saw him as the captain, even though he didn't have that captain's armband on. So do you have to have a captain's armband? And the other thing that I've once done with a team, and they were like, we need leaders. So I was like, why don't you wear, like, as an anchor, as something to ground you, like a captain's armband underneath your shirt? So everyone feels that armband, so they can feel it there, so you step up as a leader. It's just something, little point that I want to make. And I love your points about being a captain. So I want to go on to this. It's like a captain's compass. So what would you say for you, right? If you have a compass, it's the four things you need. And then we go through it to be a captain. What would you say for you is the four things you need to be a captain?
Cool. He hasn't even asked me this before the pod and given me time to plan this, guys. He's literally just sprung this one on me. Okay, well,
so we roll.
Does it matter north, east, south, west? It doesn't. None's more important than the other.
Nope.
Okay, well, I think you've got to lead yourself first.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the biggest ones. And we always say, the saying goes, is you've got to be a lighthouse rather than a tugboat. So, you know, a lot of people will, if things aren't going well, you'll be like, he needs to do this, he needs to do that. Come on, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to run more, you need to do. And it's like if you get into that state, you're pulling people along. We say you're being more of a tugboat, and it works for a little bit, but you get exhausted. And what you actually need to do is lead yourself first and be a lighthouse. So, you know, shine by the example. And like a lighthouse doesn't move, it does what it does, and then eventually people will see it and will follow. So I think leading yourself first is being as being one of the biggest things. And then I don't know if this is another one, but that also that consistency, but maybe that does come under lead yourself first. You can't always be changing who you are. It's like, right, lead yourself. So know who you are and do that day in, day out. Mm-hmm. I think energy is one of the biggest one.
Is that the E for energy? Yeah.
Yeah. And we have S for lead yourself. we'll go for energy. I think energy is massive. And it's one of the biggest things that I live off is one of my biggest ways I want to live is I want to bring energy to the people I meet. I want to give energy. I want to pass on energy. And when I meet people, I want to feel their energy. And I'm all about good energy and passing it on. So, you know, I describe my three leaders of Bales, Blooms and Troy. The way they led their energy around the place was, you know, that you gravitated towards them because they, the way they just talked, you know, they weren't anything but themselves, but they were intriguing to talk to. They brought good energy to the place, training. You wanted to be on their teams or you wanted to be against them to make yourself better. So I think that the energy that you're giving off, and that goes to body language, that goes to the way you communicate, everything you do is energy. So I think energy is one of the biggest things. So lead yourself first, energy. Mm-hmm. Emotional intelligence, I think, is my next one. So understanding, first and foremost, your own emotion, which does come back under your lead yourself first. So understanding emotion, like football is a very, very, very emotional game. You give the ball away, you concede, you score. And having a leader where they can assess the emotion and then have an impact on how to change it. So, for example, if the team's very on edge, nervous, trying to hold on to a lead, it's recognizing that energy and be able to ground the people around you in ways that only, you know, every individual react differently, but to ground them and find a way to shift that emotion. So emotional intelligence as well, to if someone's having a tough time around the place, to understand that, pick up on that, and to be able to influence them or help a player in a way that they might need. And an example, I had that today. I actually met someone today and I met them in the gym and I went, "Are you okay?" And they went, yeah, "I'm good. How are you?" And it was really funny. I've never really had this too much before, but I'm not, is a younger player under 18. And I speak to this player every morning, but it's very, how are you? Yeah, all good. How's your rehab coming along? But the way he said, "Hi, how are you?" with the lack of eye contact, the lack of energy in them 4, 5, 6 words, I was like, he's not okay.
Yeah.
I actually pulled him after training today and I went, "What's up?" And he went, "No, I'm fine." I went, "Honestly, like, I could tell you're just not your same energy." Mm-hmm. Anyway, we ended up having a chat for about half an hour, 45 minutes. And that's that sort of emotional intelligence that I think is important. It's that you can recognize that in other people. First, you've got to recognize it in yourself because you don't want a leader that's up and down all the time. And then a real leader, which Blooms, Troy and Bales all had, is they then can see past themselves and see what other people are doing. And they can see what they're feeling. And then they can just be that person that you can connect with and just offload whatever problems. You know, everyone in football's got problems. And it's being able to articulate that and maybe have someone that you can just share that with, so it doesn't, so the load isn't as heavy on your own shoulders. So emotional intelligence, lead yourself first, energy. And the last one, oh, this is where I'm not sure. Energy, lead yourself first, emotional intelligence. Right, what do these guys have that? See, honesty, hard working could be positivity.
Not even chiming in to help you out. Just letting you think.
Yeah, I know. Just skip the next 10 seconds, people.
Let me go for what you're thinking, right? I just want to make some points on the stuff that you said, because I've written it down and I've got some little things I've written down. You said about the lighthouse, right? And there's another saying, which is lighthouses don't go around islands looking to save people. They just stand there shining, attracting people in. That's a really good one. And then you said about, like, telling people what to do in the tugboat. And the thing is, the advice that you give, I think a good captain and a good leader, the advice that you give is the advice a lot of the time you need to take. So it's being, it's going, if I give that advice out, am I doing that myself? Energy, like massive, like that you said there, it's contagious. It catches. You've seen people who've got negative energy. It's horrible. Like you feel, you come in with someone who's got really bad energy and it makes you have low energy too. You see someone with really high energy and they like, oh, that person has given me more energy. Energy catches. That's positive or negative. And then like emotional intelligence, you're talking about there, Blooms, like a little story about Blooms. So this is Matt Bloomfield. He's now Wickham's captain. I remember a young player coming into me and speaking to me, and he said, like, Blooms asked him, so he played with him, you're a really young player, and he then asked him afterwards, what do I need to do to improve? And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So this young player, he's had this Wickham legend who's been playing for years and years. He's like 36 years old, and he's asked him, how do I improve? And I think that for that, emotional intelligence as well comes down to ego, like dropping the ego a little bit. He's like, and I had this conversation earlier in Nando's with a player I've been working with. It was like, we had a conversation about a manager, and it was like he couldn't get to that level. He couldn't connect with people on a certain level. Whereas in Blooms, like people saw him as a proper leader, and he decided that he could learn from anyone. He was like, I can learn from anyone. This person has been on a different journey than me. I can learn from them too. And we had this massive conversation earlier about changing knowledge and swapping knowledge. Like I might be helping this player, but actually he's actually coaching me too. And we're coaching each other. I'm getting knowledge off him. He's getting knowledge off me. And we're actually helping each other. So now you've had time to think, what's your fourth one?
I've got two.
And then you're only that one. Because we're going to go into...
I've now got a wonky compass. I'm going north. Yeah, so I've got northeast, south, and west. Now I've got northeast and southeast.
You're allowed one. What's the most?
So I've got two, and I'm not quite sure which one. So as a leader, I think adaptability could be quite important. I'm not quite sure if that's my final answer or not. I'm just going to talk it out loud. But I think adaptability is important, and to be adaptable, I think you've got to have a very open mindset. I think throughout the course of a season, you've got to remember, say there's 20 people in the squad, that's 20 different egos, that's 20 different mindsets, of which some are good, some are bad. And having that adaptability to be able to talk to every single person on a completely different level, which leads into my next one, which is connectivity. So the adaptability and connectivity, they're my two, where it's being able to connect then with each player individually. So once you're connected, you can then have the ability to talk to them. And I think that's one of the most important things, is talking to the human rather than the footballer. There's always a human side to it, which we don't always get to see if you don't spend time with people. There's a human side that if you get to know that side, which Blooms did really, really well. Bailey Wright did really, really well. I was quite young with Troy to really have them sort of conversations, although we did to an extent, and we've done that recently on podcasts. But those guys got to know more than just the football side. They understood way more to that. They got to understand how my mind worked, my flaws, where I could improve, my weaknesses. They helped me through that. So it's the adaptability to talk to people and read situations, whether that's in-game, out-of-game, individual, teams, and then having that connectivity to be able to communicate to that, to every single person in the way that's needed. I think adaptability and connectivity, those two are powerful.
Stop sitting on the fence. What one are we going with? You got to choose one.
Communication.
Amazing. Right, so I've done my own research, I've looked into it, I've asked a lot of people, what are the traits of a great captain? And we're going to go through these right now. So number one, you said this, communication skills. So communication
skills. Doing four pillars here? Are you doing more?
No, we're doing more. I'm going more than you. I've got northeast, southwest, I've got every direction, me. That's how I roll.
You've got You've gone up, down.
I've gone up, down, left, right. You've got your four pillars. I've got more than that. I've got eight different traits of a captain. So communication skills. So I think a great captain knows how to communicate effectively with teammates, coaches. They motivate, encourage, give and receive feedback in a positive and constructive way. So one, communication. I take it you agree with that, because that was one of your 10 captain's compasses things.
Yeah, I think communication. Communication's huge. You know, the way you got young players that are like, when I met Blooms, for example, I was very immature, very, you know, just up, down, up, down, up, down, go, 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 go. And the way he was being able to, he could communicate to me in the same way he could communicate to the senior lads. Different, sorry, but he could communicate very contrast individuals. And, you know, that changes the way he changed, how he spoke to me. He realized what motivated me, what I was dialed into, and he could adapt that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the way we communicate, you know, everything's about communication. If we've got a message, if we want someone to do something, communication is the most important thing. And do it in the wrong way and people will do the opposite or not do a thing at all. Do it in the right way and you can always get the best out of people. So yeah, communication is huge.
Well, number two, leadership skills. So as you said there, leading by example, setting the tone with their work ethic, attitude, behaviors, and inspiring a teammate to work harder and to strive for excellence.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this one. It's like, what makes a good captain? You put captain skills.
Captain skills?
No, it's like, that's what you've done there. The that's quite open to interpretation, leadership skills. Leadership, like leadership skills. Like communication is leadership skills.
Of course. I think it's encouraging people to work harder, to drive more, to be better.
I think everything, like even all four things out of my compass can fit under that leadership skills.
Of course, I agree. So you're number three?
Dedicated, spelt wrong. Like it, Rob.
Dedicated. That's not true. That is spelt right because it's got no spell. No, it's not. It is spelt wrong. You're 100% right. Dedicate. Let's go through. Dedicated. There we go. So dedication and commitment. So they're committed to put time and effort in, needed to excel for themselves and for others, and to encourage their teammates to do the same things as them. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think if you ask, like, I stick by my four pillars as the biggest ones, but I ask anybody and it's all different to what sort of, like, everybody, what people have got to remember that listen is every single person, even the people that are listening now to this, my mum, if she'll probably be listening, every single person is a leader. You know, if you can influence one person, in my eyes, that's a leader. And we've all lead in different ways. My mum is a leader, my dad is a leader, and the way they brought us up as three kids, completely different. But that's the way they learn. None is wrong or right. It's just everyone leads in different ways. So I think it's really cool that everyone realizes that they're in a leadership position. Whether we've got children, you're a leader. Your children are also leaders because they lead you. But once you understand that everybody has a leader in them, it's like, okay, well, what sort of leader am I being? And I think that's the most important question. How am I leading? Am I doing it in the way that I want to? Have I really thought about it? Because sometimes it took me a while to think, well, I'm actually a leader here, but I've never really thought about it. And then you start to think, okay, well, how am I leading? Am I leading in the way I want to? Could I be a better leader? And when you start asking these questions, then you can start dialing into these, for example. And then what we did yesterday in the Inner Game Academy course with the kids is we ranked our leadership skills out of 10. And some were higher than others. For example, I can't remember which one of mine was low. I have to get my book back out. But one of the boys, his emotional intelligence was low. Mm-hmm. But from that, he'd be like, okay, my emotional intelligence is low. And then one of the tasks we had to do was be, my emotional intelligence is now 4 out of 10. Okay, well, how do I get to a 6? How do I bump up by 2? Once you get there, How do I get to an 8? And then how do I get to a 10? So once we're aware that we're all leaders, it's okay, well, what traits do leaders show? And how do I mark myself as a leader in every single component? And then once you've got a mark of where you are, it's like, okay, now where am I going to get to? How am I going to improve? And that's when we start to really develop as a leader, when we become more conscious of it.
You have to remember, this is the traits of a captain as well. So that's why leadership skills is a trait of a captain, by the way, not just a leader. So leadership skills, if I was saying a leader needs leadership skills, I was saying a captain needs leadership skills. A captain needs to be dedicated, committed. Obviously, a captain comes under a leader as well. And then this one that you just said is, and it's one of yours, a leader and a captain needs to be emotional intelligent. So a great captain is aware of, like you said, their own emotions of others, read their teammates' moods, which you said about earlier, and then respond appropriately. Exactly. That's the trait of a captain and a leader. And then provide support and then constructive criticism as needed. Be able to give constructive criticism in a positive way rather than a negative way. I think that's a massive trait of a captain. Thoughts?
Oh, I could do 8 podcasts on emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. That's one of my key pillars to, you know, emotions is we are emotional creatures. Mm-hmm. Rob said it yesterday. We'd like to be logical creatures, but we're actually emotional creatures. If anyone wants to understand it better, The Chimp Paradox is a genius book on it. And it's like, we always think emotionally first rather than logically. You know, think of the last time someone cut us up on the road. Emotionally, we're honking the horn, we're trying to cut them back up again. When logically, what's that going to do for us? And that's because we react purely on emotion before the logical side kicks in. And The Chimp Paradox is a genius book on how to put that in. Explain it in a way with perfect imagery and using, you know, the chimp as the main character, but understanding your emotions. We're emotional beings, so understand what drives you. Why do I feel like this? I always see emotion as a roadmap. I'm angry because if I'm angry, then there's normally a boundary that's been crossed. So next time you get angry, instead of, okay, sometimes we might act out because we're angry, but don't just dismiss it and hope it. Yeah, and expect to, yeah. And it's like, well, next time we get angry, don't just hope that you get better the next day. Trace it back. Always see it as a roadmap. Follow that anger back and then find the root cause. And that's emotional intelligence. So then next time that event happens, you know, take a game. I'm angry because I gave the ball away. And that when I get angry, I'm like, okay, why am I angry? I gave the ball away. You know, you kind of go into that. Well, I was lazy, I didn't move my feet. So now I can go, right, I need to go work on my foot movements. The next time I give the ball away, because I've done work and I might not get as angry anymore. Because if you get angry, then who's the loser? Well, the game still continues. So I'm the loser. I'm the one that's not present in the game right now. And it's affecting my next decision and the team's decisions. So emotional intelligence is crucial. And I always like to see emotions as a roadmap. Trace it back far enough. You can see why, what's causing the emotion.
Yeah, like you said there, all you need to do is have kids to see how they run an emotion. Like Sophia wakes up in the morning, my daughter, and she is moody. Until she gets her food, she is hangry, she is crying, she's screaming, anything she wants, all emotion. Like, she has got no logic yet. She hasn't developed that part of the brain. She is, their kids are run purely on emotion. They are pure emotion. And then what we have to realize is we make decisions based on emotion. And then we think they're logical, but they're not. They're based on emotion. We make most decisions emotionally, and then we put logic on it. Like, for example, here's one. I don't feel like going to the gym today. I don't feel like doing extras today. That's the emotional decision. I don't feel like it. Then you put a logical bit on it because I'm really tired and I didn't sleep last night. So you think it's a logical decision, but it's not. It's an emotional decision. Based on logic. So you think it's that decision. You'll see people, I need a glass of wine tonight. I feel like a glass of wine tonight. Emotional decision. Then they put the logic on it because I've had a really hard week. That's the logic. So it's actually emotional based decisions. We base most decisions on emotion and then we wrap it up in logic. It's really interesting when you see it. Feeling, we feel. We're feeling creatures. We feel things. So make sure you feel it. It's allowing yourself to feel emotion rather than suppress it. Especially if you're listening and you're male, what we do is we push the emotion down rather than allow ourselves to feel, or we argue with it. Like, I shouldn't be feeling anxious. I see this with players all the time. Shouldn't be feeling anxious for a game. And then they argue with it and then they spiral and it creates more anxiety. Rather than, it's okay to feel anxious. It's okay to feel, that's okay. That means I'm ready. That gives me superpowers. Let's change it. So the next one, the ability to handle pressure. So a great captain normally remains calm and composed under pressure, has the ability to make smart decisions, leading their team through challenging situations. So a great captain, I think, has the ability to handle pressure effectively. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, these are the moments where leaders need to make themselves present. And it goes back to the Luke Garrard saying is mirror me. Mm-hmm. So in a time, if I'm the leader and we're under moments of pressure, I want my teammates to mirror me. So that's where, you know, understanding our body language and what we're doing is just as important. So if there's a pressure moment and I'm still, you know, on the front foot, trying to make the best decisions, communicate and trying to help others, then that is leadership, because you're handling the pressure, but you're also being a lighthouse. Teammates might be looking at you and going, okay, if he's doing that, and that's where that mirror me comes from. And if you're handling the pressure, it's not just about you handling it. It's like, how can I help others now get into that state of mind where they're, you know, pressure, we can all handle pressure. It's just, you know, the actions are still, you can still perform the actions. It's just harder to, because you're now overwhelmed with emotions. So it's like, well, as a leader now, how can I get the person back in a, you know, we talk about attention channels with our kids, with our players in our Inner Game Academy course. They're in the wrong channel. So how can we get our team back in the right channel and focusing on the right things? Because under pressure, when there's pressure moments, we do some funny things, or we don't do the things that we need to do. And that's because pressure does funny things to us all. It changes how we feel. It then changes what we do. And sometimes we can't do an easy task, but that's nothing to do with the skill level just disappearing. It's a thinking problem. So the best way for someone to lead then is to set the example. And then, you know, by saying mirror me, mm-hmm. then if you're doing the right things, teammates might follow and start to copy.
Really good story, actually, about who you say mirror me, Roy Keane. Have you heard the story of what Gary Neville said about this woman called Wendy? Had to get things signed. Do you know that story?
Nope.
Right, for people listening, right? So got the story up here. Like, it triggered me into it. You say mirror me. So this is what Gary Neville said. He said, Wendy used to get the charity ball signed, and Roy Keane was like this as well. Every Thursday, Wendy would have 30 to 40 charity balls that we'd sign, and they'd go to children's charities in Greater Manchester or somewhere in the country. And he said, sometimes you're in a rush. You're young, you're a football player, and then you go, oh, Wendy, I'll sign them after. I'm in a rush. I've got things to do. I've got stretching to do. I'll have a massage. I've got to have treatment. And then he said it was a poor excuse. And then what happened is Keane found out that people were skipping the signings. And he was fuming. Fuming. As a captain, he went straight to Alex Ferguson, and he made sure every single one of them balls got signed. He's like, because that's the principles that he had. He wanted people to mirror him. He's like, well, don't skip the small stuff. She's been standing there for hours. Because she was like, he said, like, she was really upset because five players in the squad have signed the balls. Roy went upstairs and said to Alex Ferguson, it's an absolute disgrace. This is happening for a couple of weeks now. And then he killed us. He absolutely killed us. He said, it's a lack of respect to walk past Wendy, who was there to get the charity ball signed, and they're not for her. They're for charity. It's not what you do. So it's about, that for me as a captain, a leader, he's like, do you know what? This is mirroring me. Like, why should you walk past? Who are you to be more important? I think that's a massive skill as a leader. I think that's really cool. So the next one, number six, is a positive attitude. So a great captain maintains a positive attitude, even in the face of adversity, optimistic, and they drive their team through. What do you think? Positive attitude. You said that was one of your, you said that beforehand.
Yeah. For me, positive attitude breeds energy as well. Mm-hmm. If you think positive, it's the way you conduct yourself. It's smiles. It's picking up on the good rather than the bad. One thing we always do with the Inner Game Academy players is we have a journal. And one of the things I do is I do my gratitudes every day. So my brain's always scanning for the good in the world. You know, 80% of our thoughts are negative. We have 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of negative thoughts. So how can we tip the balance in our favor? I simply just write down the things I'm grateful for each day, or the things that's happened to me that I just loved, and put a smile on my face. And now I go into the training ground and my brain just scans for good. You know, if something's not up to stand, maybe training wasn't quite what I wanted, well, I'm just glad that I'm out there playing football. If I didn't quite like the food, I'm like, well, there's food on my plate. If I didn't like a conversation with one person, I'm like, well, why didn't I like that? How could I have approached that differently? How could I have helped him? My brain just scans for the good in the world. And I think a leader, listen, there's times when there's negativity, but it's like, how can I flip that how can I flip that into a win?
Amazing. Next one. That was what we just said about the Roy Keane, number seven, like as a captain, respecting others. So a great captain shows respect for their teammates, coaches, opponents, treating everyone fairly and with dignity. So respecting others, I think that's massive as well. That comes to that Roy Keane story. I probably should have added it there, but it's only because I had a picture of Roy Keane up on my screen that it triggered me to remember it. But yeah, respecting others, a bit equal to others. You're not better than anyone else. I think that's massive. I think from conversations I've had, people who haven't been respected in football is because they've put themselves up here and they've seen themselves above people rather than meeting them at their level. They're like, I want you to mirror me, but in a, you can't get to this level in a weird way. Like, you're not going to reach this level. So people put themselves up there. And I think that's massive, having respect for others. Thoughts?
Yeah, and it's that consistency as well. So again, approaching everybody the same. Doesn't matter who it is. You know, if the sporting director walked in, if it was someone you didn't know, it's about that consistency of behavior. It's greeting them with a smile, welcoming them. And it doesn't matter who it is. It's that, again, I mentioned it earlier, it's that consistency of behaviors to every single person.
And the last one. Being adaptable. So as Bloom said,
I said that.
Yep, you did say that. Being adaptable, yeah. So as Bloom said, it's about you got different people in changing rooms, different nationalities, you got different ages. How can you connect and be relatable and have relationships with different people? How can you relate? So it's all about having relationships. How can you relate? The whole point of relationships, if you take the word relate and then ship. A ship moves forward, doesn't go backwards. So how can you have relationships with different people from different cultures at different ages? How can you connect if you're a 35-year-old captain? How can you connect to an 18-year-old? How do you adapt to that? How do you adapt to that?
Common ground. Mm-hmm. That's what I've learned recently is one of the things we've got a lot of cultures, different cultures in our group. We've got Italian speaking players. We've got French speaking players. Obviously the English, and I find common ground by learning about them. What we've got to remember as well is a lot of people enjoy speaking about themselves, and that's how you connect with people. Right. Let's get to know someone by learning about them. You know, for example, we've got a lot of French lads. So I want to learn about the French culture. What's it like? How's it different? What do you think of the English culture? What's good? What's bad? And if some of them are having a debate in French, I get one of them to translate for me and I try and join in. I'll learn a few French phrases. So it's finding that common ground. And once you've got that common ground, you then open up other avenues. But first and foremost, I remember speaking to Ali on the podcast when he was at Wimbledon. It's hard when you first join a training ground, a new team, because you haven't got that common ground. So how can you find common ground? You listen, you ask questions, you see. You know, you ask Rob or me about golf, for example, you'll see our eyes light up. Oh, yeah, we know that. And we'll talk about it. Yep, I've been in them trees. I've been in that water. I've been in that. But like, if you talk to me or if you talk to Rob about cryptocurrencies, his eyes would light up. You know, he understands it. He talks about it. But talk to Rob about, Yeah. Not at the moment, now it's down. But then talk to me, for example, about politics. And it's not the common ground. I should know. I need to read up more on it. Yes. I need to educate more on it. But if he talks about it, it doesn't really interest me, sadly. So that's not the common ground. So you've got to find a sort of common ground with people. And then once you find that common ground, then you're building a relationship. So that is our pillars to leadership.
Captains.
Captains. A whole hour, I couldn't get that one wrong.
We're talking about captains. As you said, that when I said captains, leadership skills, you're like, well, that comes out. Yeah, but I'm like, a captain needs leadership skills. I can't have a good captain without leadership skills.
And big biceps.
And big biceps.
Or a small armband.
I was wondering what he was going to say then. I was like, that's not for this, mate. That's not for this. But captain.
That is our captain material, and it's... And do you know what the beauty of it is? That there'll be times where I had it recently where someone said I was good captain material and I showed really poor traits of being a captain recently. And I spoke to my wife about it. I was really disappointed in myself. And I was like, right, how can I turn this into a win? What didn't I like? Why wasn't I not a good captain at this stage? Why was I not a good leader? And I had a big kind of evolution of myself, and it changed everything for me. And I've now become like a better leader. I'm not the captain of the team, but again, we've got to remember every single one of us is a leader. If we can influence one person, we're a leader. Yep. We're all our own captains. It doesn't have to be in football. And then once you realize that and you start seeing that you can have an impact, it's like, well, I'm having a good impact or a bad, you're either having a good impact or a bad impact. There's no in between. And if you're having a bad impact, why? What can I do better? You're either moving forwards or moving backwards. And if you're standing still, that's even worse. So it's like, okay, well, why am I standing still? Why am I moving backwards? How can I become a better leader? How can I become a better captain in any field? And if you do that, then you're going to be a better person. You're going to make a better environment. And I think that's key for everybody. I think that's what we all want.
I agree. I've got a question for you. Have you seen any people, no names, that have been, and I know people like this, because they want to be the captain so bad, whose attitude changes if they're not the captain?
Don't think so. I haven't had many. My captains have stayed pretty consistent over time, so I think I haven't had that.
No, I've seen that. I've seen that. They want to be captains so bad that the captain's armband means everything. I'm like, well, just wear one under your shirt. Like, you don't have to have the captain's armband to lead. That's the whole.
It doesn't do much. Doesn't do huge. I've realized that. You're still. You're still a leader if you're on the bench. If you're not in the squad, you can still lead. You can, like, take, for example, Ross Stewart. I think Ross Stewart's a really good captain, even though he's not captain. He hasn't played this season, or he's played 10 games this season or so. But yeah, I go in every single day, and the way I speak to him, the way he talks to me, I think, what a great captain. It's just his understanding of the game, the way he sees everything. And it's like, well, he hasn't worn the captain armband once. He hasn't.
They're not the captain, though.
No, yeah, he's played a handful of games and he hasn't played for the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And yet I see him as a captain because of the way he speaks, the way I go to him and ask him for help and the advice he gives. I just see him as a captain, and yet not playing, not in the match day squad because he's injured, but I see him as a captain. So everyone's got to remember, if you have an influence, you're a captain. And then if you have a captain, then it's time to think about what sort of way you're leading.
Amazing. I've really enjoyed this. There we go. Drop them. Yeah. It's a hard one to drop that mic.
It is. It's a big mic. Can't drop this mic.
So that is captains. Hope you've enjoyed it. Listen, if you've liked this, you know what to do. What's people got to do? I say it all the time. See if you remember.
Well, if you don't like it, tell us why. If you do like it, drop us a review out of 5. I've always asked for a 5-star review, I'd love a 5-star review, but if anything less, my dog's come to join me. Just honestly rate us. We love a review because then we have more reach. If you don't like us, please tell us why so we can improve.
If you don't like us, don't give us a 1-star review. Just keep that to yourself.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Laters.
Thanks for listening to the Inner Game Academy podcast. Please do us a massive favour and give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. Tag us in your stories. We'll share it. Subscribe because it helps us spread awareness of the show. Thanks very much for your help, and we'll see you on the next episode.